Thomas B. Warren is with us today. He's been on this program before. We're happy to welcome him back. Today he's going to be speaking on the subject, the three-pronged key to a successful life.
All of us, I know, have aims and goals in life. And I want to talk to you today about a very succinct statement found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, which I hope you'll see is really a great and wonderful key to a successful life. In this passage we read, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." That may not seem at first reading to be a very important statement, but I'd like to urge you to think about it, to be willing to listen to the import of this simple statement. Simple, yet very, very profound. There are times in our lives when we are at very crucial crossroads, a very crucial point of life. I dare say that every instance in our life is in a very real sense crucial. But there are some instances which are much more crucial than others. When maybe we've suffered some great tragedy, when we've had some great and wonderful success, both of these may tend to turn us in wrong directions. If a person has a great deal of problem, if his tragedy is one of physical and so forth, it may have led him to be simply a despairing person. Nothing in his life he sees to be valuable any longer. On the other hand, great riches can do much the same. Some people think that if they gain $1 million, perhaps through something like the lottery, then their life is an immediate and complete success. But I like to suggest that that simply is not the case. This doesn't mean, of course, that we are not to try to do the best we can with all that we engage in, so long as that thing is right. But it does mean there is a balance that we must see. There is a basic truth that undergirds all successful life, and this passage here constitutes such an effort. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, not with merely part of it, but with all of it. In all thy ways acknowledge him. In all of your ways in life, everything you do and say, acknowledge God, recognize him, and as a result, he will direct your paths. Let's look for a moment at some of these things. Much that passes for success in this life is simply not success. It's even abject failure. And much that passes for failure isn't failure. It may be a great success. How is it that these things can be? There are many philosophies that clamor for our attention. They constitute rivals to the Bible. They constitute rivals to God, rivals to His sacred word, this book which tells us how to live, how to be saved, how to become a Christian, how to live the faithful life as a Christian so that when this life is over, you will go to home to be with God. We have such theories as communism, which denies the existence of God, which indicates that everything is based upon a materialistic concept. We have also very complex philosophies, sometimes called analytic philosophy, which is again a rejection of God. Existentialism, nothing is really profound truth. That is truth that is absolutely what it is without it fading away. It constitutes a sort of leap into the dark to whatever each one person wants to hold to. It indicates a sort of unity and diversity. It doesn't matter that what you believe may constitute a number of things that are absolutely contradictory of one another. But yet many people tell us that's the way to live. Espouse this. Each person has a right to invent whatever he wishes with his own mind. It is true there's a sense in which we have that right. We have the right as human beings to use our own minds the way we want to, but not in the sense or right of doing that and still pleasing God. You cannot just do what you like to do and please God. The Bible is God's message to man. And this passage from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 is a truly great message. Let's look at the basic things that are involved in this passage. First of all, let's look at the first word of verse 5. Trust in the Lord. What does that mean, trust in the Lord? For one thing, it means that we need guidance. There's none of us who is smart enough, intelligent enough, learned enough to know really what to do with our lives separate and apart from God and His sacred word. Men need guidance. You need guidance in your own individual life, the things that just you do without anybody else involved. You need guidance in how to deal with societies. There are some societies that are very simple. The people are not very educated. They're not very well along the road of developing all kinds of gadgets and machines. They just live day by day, trying to find some food to live and a place to sleep. And, of course, this is not as big a problem as it is in living in a very complex society such as our own, or as Europe or Japan. These things involve a great deal of things that involve our study, to learn what to do, to handle the various aspects of it. Why do we need guidance then? Because there are conflicting duties and conflicting desires within ourselves. We recognize that we have a duty, if indeed we're thinking right at all, to God. But somehow or other we haven't brought ourselves to the point that we can really trust in Him. Not to the point of picking up the Bible, studying it, learning it, honestly studying it, drawing the conclusions that are warranted, drawing the conclusions that are implied by the explicit statements of the Bible, and then seeking to incorporate those things into our lives. It's a complicated thing because there's so many avenues that are open to us. There are all kinds of jobs you can seek to do. There are all kinds of businesses. There are all kinds of ways of seeking pleasure. Some of them are pleasing to God and some are not. There is, of course, the factor of our ignorance of the future. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and neither do you. Every one of us lives in a world of unknowing what is going to happen, save as God has revealed to us what is going to happen at the end of time. We know that there will be a judgment of every person who's ever lived upon this earth, and every person will be judged by the Word of God according to which covenant they lived under. Those who lived and died before the New Testament came into effect on the first day of Pentecost after the resurrection of Christ will be judged either by patriarchal law or Mosaic law. But all who have lived since then will be judged by the gospel of Jesus Christ. But many people are ignorant of that fact. There are many people who simply go their way. Their basic thing in life is to gain money, to be involved with so-called physical pleasures, even to drunkenness, fornication, adultery, and so on. There is, in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, a very sacred word, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so many philosophies cry out for our allegiance. What about you? What are you thinking of? What kind of principle guides your life? I submit to you it would be worth the while of all of us to look at this passage. If you have a Bible, get it and read it as we study together. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You see, there's none of us that's intelligent enough. There's none of us learned enough. There's none of us who's smart enough, as it were, to know what we should do with our lives. I'm afraid our own nation is in the midst of disintegration because of so many factors that are involved against the will of God. All kinds of things that are really wrong according to Bible teaching. In whom are we to trust? We are to trust in God, not in ourselves. Trust in the Lord. Notice that. Trust in the Lord. How are we to do it? With all thine heart, without reservation. I read the Bible, I study the Bible, I draw conclusions, I learn the truth, it tells me how to live, it tells me what to do and what not to do, and I must espouse those things with all of my heart. I must not allow anyone, no matter how much I may think of them, be it husband or wife, children or parents, friends, business associates, anyone who seeks to drag you away from the simple truths of the Bible is not your friend. In the final analysis, it amounts to the fact that they are among at least your very worst enemies. We must not trust in ourselves then. We must trust in the Lord. What does it mean to trust? I'd like for us to read, if you'll turn in your Bible, to Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, to see a very, very important passage. I'll begin reading with verse 19. And without being weakened in faith, he considered his own body now as good as dead. This, of course, is referring to Abraham. He being about 100 years old and the deadness of his wife Sarah's womb. Yet looking unto the promise of God, he wavered not through unbelief, but waxed strong through faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now that's the attitude that we should have toward God and toward his word, the Bible. To be fully persuaded that what God has promised, he not only is able to do, but will do. We find this carried out in the book of Job. Job suffered terribly, but in the final analysis, his faith continued in God. And so the first point that we look at is, trust in God with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Let that be a part of what we are doing when we trust God. We do not lean on our own understanding. We don't just think up our own philosophy. We don't just think up our own way of life. We don't just say, and I've heard many people say this, well, I know what I want to do, and I'm going to do it. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. I'm not interested in hearing about that. But here is the word of God. Trust in the Lord. How? With all your heart. And what not do? Don't lean on your own understanding. Do I know enough how to lead my life without the Bible? No, I do not. I could make a stab at it. I could do this or that or the other. I could believe one thing and reject another. But I could not really know what I ought to do with my life. But now with the Bible, if I will study it honestly, draw the conclusions that it implies, and strive to build those things in my life, then I can have a great and wonderful life. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Think about the people you know. Think about the people you work with. Think about many, perhaps, the people in your own family. Think about other friends and neighbors you know. How many of them lean on not under their own understanding, but under the understanding and the will of God as taught in the Bible? There's a second big word. We've looked now at trust and not lean, which we've made to be a part of trusting. Acknowledge him. That's the word. Acknowledge him. How? In all thy ways. Acknowledge him, and what shall occur? And he shall direct thy paths. Whom are we to acknowledge? Are you to acknowledge perhaps the President of the United States, or some king, or some emperor, or a senator, or a cabinet member? What are you? Who are you to acknowledge? You are to acknowledge God. How? In all thine ways. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and what shall occur? And he shall direct thy paths. How are we to acknowledge God? How are we to acknowledge him? What's involved in our acknowledging God? In your life's work, in training, in choosing what you're going to do, do not choose something that's going to be to leading you off away from God. Do not choose a vocation that would lead you to be a rejecter of God. And to be involved in the training for what you're going to do with your life. And the Bible ought to be a part of your life every day. It ought to be a part of your reading and study. Don't just read it for a few moments and then let it go, but think about it. Think about it carefully. Look at the things, what the explicit statements, what is said in so many words in the Bible. What does it imply? You must draw the right conclusions. And so this is training for you to live by the Bible, by becoming a daily Bible reader. And then what you learn, to do it. You know, Ezra set his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to learn it, and to do it with all of his heart. That's what's involved in the seeking and acknowledging. In life's relationship with your children, with your son or daughter, how many of you have children, but you've never yet made any effort to try to train them to grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? The children of your responsibility, what happens to them is very largely in your hands. It is not that they cannot, as they grow older, throw off the things that you may have taught them, whether they're good or bad, whether they're true or false. But it is your responsibility to bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And the things that God has promised, the good things in life, whether you have a lot of money or not, will not really be important. But doing the will of God and bringing your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord is the thing that will be great in your life. What about your relationship with your husband or your wife? Are you a good husband, a good wife? Are you a loving person? Are you one who in all of your ways acknowledge God and therefore a loving person, a kind person, a considerate person? one who's deeply concerned about what that person wants, and you want both of you to do well. You want both of you to be Christians, to be obedient to God, to obey the gospel, to be baptized into Christ, and then live faithfully even unto death. That's acknowledging God in all of your ways with your wife or your husband. Don't be selfish with your wife or your husband. Don't be clamoring and want to be the big shot, as it were, to do all the leading and all the decision making. Be kind to one another. What about the relationship with your mother and father? You children, some of you are not even teenagers yet. You're still old enough to understand the kind of relationship, the kind of attitude you ought to have, and the kind of things that you do in response to your parents. To honor them. They're your mother and father. They brought you into this world. And it's God's will that children should honor their father and mother. He made that clear in the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. Honor your father and mother. Be obedient to them. Don't ever be sassy to them. Don't ever speak in an ugly way to them. But to be obedient to them. Now, of course, not if they ask you to do something wrong. And you know that it's wrong, then you're not to do that, even in obedience to your parents. What about your friends and neighbors? You ought to try to make as many friends as you can without compromising the truth of Almighty God. Be kind to your friends. Be fair to your friends. Be honest with your friends. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And that's included in your relationship with your friends and your neighbors. What about in life circumstances? What about when you're rich? You get a lot of money. Don't let it go to your head. Don't let it lead you away from God. Don't let it cause you to seek the company of people who will drag you into drunkenness and fornication and adultery and lying. But be honest with God and simply tell people that you are not going to do things that they want you to do that are against the will of God. What about adversity? What about if your business goes bad and you lose your business? What if you have a great and awesome illness to come upon you, such as heart disease or cancer? Don't lose your hope. Don't turn aside from God. Don't become bitter and say, well, I see I couldn't trust God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and all thy ways acknowledge Him. When you're lying in the hospital waiting for surgery, or you've had surgery and your life is hanging by a thread, remember that you must acknowledge God. Lean upon God. Pray to God. Ask Him to help you. You may be in a hospital this very moment that you're listening to this broadcast. And you may be very much down, as we say. I plead with you to trust in God. How? Trust in Him with all of your heart. Don't reserve anything. Trust in God. Take the Word of God. Study it and learn it. And then He will direct your path. Obey the gospel of Christ if you haven't already done it. Learn what the gospel teaches about what you must do to be saved. To believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. To repent of your sins, change your mind about it, turn away from it, confess the blessed name of Christ, and be baptized as Jesus Himself taught, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. No believer is saved until he is in Christ. That's where salvation is, 2 Timothy 2:10. But one gets into Christ by being baptized into Christ. That's taught in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 5. And also Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. You cannot get there otherwise. Acknowledge God in your life by obeying the gospel as a penitent believer to be baptized into Christ. And when you do that, the Lord Himself will add you. You can't join the church. You will not be a member of a denomination. But the Lord Jesus Christ will add you to the church which He bought with His own blood. You see, you obey the gospel plan of salvation, and Jesus adds you to the church. And when you become a member of the church, and therefore a Christian, you're not a Christian out of the Lord's church. There are no Christians out of the Lord's church. The one you read about in the Bible, that's what I'm talking about. And if you live faithfully day by day, be thou faithful unto death, we read in Revelation 2:10, and I will give unto thee the crown of life. That's the promise of Jesus. The crown which is life, the crown which is eternal life. We turn now to the third word, which is direct. We've talked about this in the course of our study somewhat. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. How does God direct your path? He directs it by His Word. You must study the Word, learn it, believe it, love it, and obey it. God guides us, as it were, by our own conscience. There is in every one of us a conscience, which means that it urges us to do, to live in harmony with, what we believe to be right. Your conscience doesn't tell you what is right, but what it does. When you have learned the truth, then your conscience will constantly urge you to follow that truth. If you should conclude that something is the truth when it's not the truth, your conscience will urge you to do that. But you still need not to go against your conscience. It will not save you if you obey the wrong doctrine, but your conscience is precious and it must not be seared. If you keep going against your conscience, it'll become seared, just like if you burn the ends of your fingers. You lose your feeling. You can touch something, you won't feel it any longer. And so it is, if you go against your conscience constantly, it becomes the case that you become less and less able to do what you feel you ought to do or care anything about it. The providence of God is very much in our lives. That is such an important point, and it's so overlooked by so many people. The providence of God to be with us, not in miraculous way. There's no person on this earth today working miracles. God is not working miracles through anybody today. That is simply wrong from the very core. They had a certain purpose, but now that purpose is over and done with. But that doesn't mean that the providence of God is not working in our lives, for it is. God will be with you, and you need to pray to that end. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. James chapter 1 and verse 5. So God directs us, helps us, by His Word, by our own conscience, and by His own providence. Study the life of Joseph, and in connection with all of those around him, the things that were striving to lead him away from God. And you see God's providence. Also in the case of Esther in the Old Testament. If God directs your path, you can be sure that no evil will baffle it. Just imagine, just try to think. I am a Christian, I'm following the Bible, God is directing my path, therefore I know that nothing can knock me off of it. Even if someone were to grab you and throw you into prison, you still would be on the way to heaven with God. So no evil can baffle it, no obstacle can thwart it, and no opposition can overcome it. It's not always the easy path, but it is always the right one. Much of that which passes for success is a failure, and much that passes for failure is really a success. There are a lot of people, they see a humble Christian, a child of God, who's living day by day faithfully according to the Bible. He doesn't have a lot of money, nobody much knows about him, and many people would say that man's a failure. But he is a great, even roaring success if he's faithful unto God and faithful unto death. Be thou faithful unto death, and I shall... You will receive the crown of life, Revelation 2:10. And so, what does our passage say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths.